I would like, beloved brethren, to continue the thought of what is new. I'd like to read a few verses in Joshua 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were completely passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take her out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then he shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were completely passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the midst of the people. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And put on the new man, that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, etc. The thought of what is new has been brought before us, and I believe that the Lord has laid a word in relation to the new man on my heart. We were engaged today with the glory of the Lord Jesus as the one who came here working because his Father worked. We saw a man who was impotent under the old system, under the law, that man was unable to move. We're reminded of the word of the scripture that when we were without strength, when we were unable to move, when we were unable to do anything for ourselves, Christ died for us. We have been reminded of the various things relating to the death of Christ. Our brother referred to the blood. He referred to the Red Sea, the brazen altar, and we have before us now the Jordan. Now the blood, of course, refers to the blood of the Lord Jesus. You will remember that the lamb was to be kept in the home for 4 days, and it was to be slain between the two evenings. I venture to suggest that it applies to the period of the public ministry of the Lord, 3.5 years, between the two evenings. The chapter starts by, "You shall take a lamb." When it says, "the lamb," it says, "your lamb." It was to be eaten, roast, with fire. The unmitigating judgment of God against sin, when our Lord Jesus was made sin for us, was applied in type to that lamb. Roast with fire. It was to be eaten, the inwards, with the head and the legs. What does that mean? The inwards, the appropriation of the inward perfection of the Lord Jesus. The legs, the way he walked here on earth. The head, the way the Lord thought. We're reminded in Corinthians, "Ye have the mind of Christ," the thinking faculty of Christ. And it was to be eaten with bitter herbs, involving the bitterness, the suffering, the sorrow that was connected with the death of the Lord. But then they come to the Red Sea, and there is a problem. The people are hedged in. "Stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah." We couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. The Egyptians were after them. They were hedged in. So were we, hedged in. We're without strength. We're unable to do anything. "Stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah." And the Lord Jesus, the one who went into death for us, the Red Sea is divided, is parted. The children of Israel go over in dry land. The death of Christ providing deliverance for us, taking us over. So we become identified with him in the likeness of his death. And then as our brother spoke to us about the brazen altar, the serpent in Genesis introduced sin into the world. The woman listened. And so God said to Moses, put a brazen serpent there. And those who look, the word there, I understand, is to look intently. Not just a casual cursory glance. Look intently. And they who looked, they lived. There were some, perhaps, who did not look, and they did not live. As our brother aptly applied it, a new company being taken out. You might say, using New Testament language, the generation of Jesus Christ, a new race. But then we come to the Jordan. And I would venture to say, beloved brethren, that the experience of the Jordan, not the doctrine of the Jordan, but the experience of it, is something that is very difficult for us to arrive at. Because now it is not a question of Christ's death for us. It is not a question of looking to Jesus as the author of our salvation. It is now the experience of accepting death ourselves. the practical application of the death of Christ to us, that the man who sinned must go out of the way completely in the death of Christ, that was accomplished. Christ died, he removed the man who sinned, and he removed the sin. He accomplished propitiation and substitution in his death. But then the application to us becomes the subjective test. Yes. Am I prepared to let go of everything that is connected with Adam? Everything. It says that the waters of the Jordan were cut off as far as the city of Adam. It is indicating to us that the death of Christ removed everything, the whole race of man, as far back as Adam. So that what remains is of the new character. That is a test. Because the thought lingers in our minds and hearts, so there's something good about us, you know. It lingers with us. Especially the refined cultural features. The fine national heritage. The tracing of generations to royalty and to nobles. We feel that these are things that we should hold on to. But they have no place in relation to the death of Christ in its Jordan aspect. It's all cut off. Because whether it is nobility, as man sees it, or kingliness, as man sees it, it is all gone in the death of Christ. And so we have to come to an end of that. An end of the man. And that is the test of the Jordan. But then the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is there in the midst of the Jordan. The priests are there in the midst of the Jordan. And there is the ark in the midst of the Jordan. The waters have been rolled back and the people are to pass over. Joshua, who I would like to think is a type of Christ in his attractive character, because you remember that Moses had died. Moses represents the lordship of Christ for the wilderness. But then when it comes to our going into the land, it is not exactly the lordship of Christ that brings us into the land. It is the attractiveness of that blessed one that brings us into the land. And so you have a change of priesthood too in relation to the land. Eliezer is a priest for the land. And all these things are instructive in relation to the experience that we would have in relation to this matter of the Jordan. It is not the command of the Lord that you must go over. That is not going to get us into the land. It's the attractiveness, the headship of Christ, and all being attracted to him. And we want to be where he is. And he's there on the other side. We want to be with him, and we are attracted into this blessed sphere, a new sphere. A sphere of joy, a heavenly sphere. And so, the commandment is given to Joshua to take 12 men of the tribes, and they are to take up 12 stones. You might say, why 12? Because 12 is the administrative number. You might say it has to do with the universal position. It's okay. 4 is the universal number, I would think. But 4 goes into 12. 4 threes are 12. So you have adequate testimony as to the universal position, but there's the administration. The administration under Christ, what a wonderful administration. An administration in which his assembly, his bride, will be there with him at his right hand, sharing his headship over the universe. but an administration of perfection and glory. 12 stones now to be taken out and to be set up as a memorial on the other side. And in this narrative it says, when your children ask you, you are to say to them that God cut off the waters of the Jordan so that we came over on dry land. Now how does that apply? Because it is the expression of the new man that is going to invoke these questions from our children. What mean he by these stones? God cut off the waters of the Jordan so that we came over on dry land. And so that there is a memorial, a testimony. The older ones representing the new man in that way. And so the children are asking questions and they come into it too. Now I think the new man, as it is taught, relates not to any one individual, but to the company. It relates to the company. And I would venture to say that the new man is Christ characteristically. Now there's Christ personally, and he's unique in his glory, preeminent, apart from anyone else. But then there is that which we can speak of as Christ characteristically. That is not tainted by sin. Indeed, the persons who form the new man were sinners. And we get the idea in relation to Pentecost that when the Spirit descended, he came as cloves of fire upon their heads, indicating that leaven was there. But the power of the Spirit of God, keeping that leaven in check, there was no fire in the case of the Lord Jesus. He's unique. The heavens was open to him, and the Father's voice to him, and the Spirit descending upon him in perfect complacency. But when it comes to us, you might say the new meal offering, there is the leaven. But the action of the Spirit in the way of fire keeps it under control. So that as far as God is concerned, the saints are without sin. God doesn't see the saints as having sin. They're perfect before him, to him who is able to keep us without stumbling and to present us blameless before his glory. What a blessed thought, beloved brethren. But the practical exercise connected with this question of the Jordan is the one that we shy away from and is the one that is very difficult to face. Nonetheless, as far as God is concerned, the saints are seen in that character as the new man, according to God, created in truthful righteousness and holiness. And that is what we need to think about. We have the Lord Jesus before us as an object. We have heaven as an objective. But then, what a thing it is that as we look in on the glory of the Lord being transformed according to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord, the Spirit. Beloved brethren, I believe that the Lord would say to us tonight, let us get on to these new things. The old things have passed away. Behold, I have made all things new. And there's something connected with that. In the Revelation, God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. Death shall not exist anymore, nor cry, nor distress. For the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. What a blessed thing it is for us to enter into this new order of things. New creation, stainless joy, beaming through the present gloom. But a time when we'll come into it in all its blessedness and beauty, in its pristine glory, coming into the joy of new creation with our blessed Lord. Oh, beloved brethren, let our hearts be warm as we think of these blessed things and the possibility that we can enter into them in a moral way now and finally in the full sense for his own sake.